It's Friday afternoon. That means it's time for news guy Noah Ovchinsky to stop by and bring us up to date on what's making waves news-wise in Wisconsin this week, including a proposal to lower the number of wolf hunting permits. Noah is our assistant news director here at WPR. Welcome back, Noah.
Good afternoon, Rob. It's good to be here.
Well, let's see. What do you want to start with today? We've got a lot to talk
about. Oh, let's see here. Let's start with the latest Marquette University poll.
Yeah. These are always big. They get a lot of headlines. And, of course, they're tracking the race for governor.
Right.
What's going on this week?
They and pretty much everybody else.
Well,
I
right.
think, media and everybody else. Right. You know, any new poll is going to make headlines at this point in the campaign season. But this one really made headlines because the poll showed that Governor Walker and his likely opponent, Mary Burke, were tied, actually, at 46%.
And that's a change from earlier Marquette polls,
any polls, yeah. Previous polls had shown, actually, Burke pretty far behind. And over time, over the course of several different polls, you know, they showed very little movement. Now, this latest poll suggests the race is actually tightening quite a bit.
Nothing huge happened between the last poll and this one. I've heard Charles Franklin talking about this on the Joy Cardine show. It's not like there was a big bombshell. What are they chalking up this change to?
Right. So Charles Franklin, who's sort of the polling extraordinaire here in the state, he said a few things account at least partially for the change. He said Mary Burke is gaining in support among women and younger voters. According to Franklin, Burke is also attracting more male voters than she had before. And thirdly, the party affiliations of those who responded to the poll also had shifted a bit. So three factors there.
Now, that let's key in on that a little. This is an argument every time a poll comes out. It's often people who don't like the results say it oversampled the other side. Too many Republicans were included, too many Democrats included. Pollsters say sometimes people's party affiliations change. Where our sample is, as best we can, reflecting what's out there in the state. That's going to be a never-ending argument, I think, when people hear polls.
Until the end of time.
Right.
Absolutely. But, you know, three big factors here changing the game, you know, to some extent. I mean, you know, this poll obviously was welcomed by the Burke campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, previous polls, in addition to the poll showing them, you know, the Governor Walker and Burke being pretty far apart, they also showed that people really didn't know much about Mary Burke, you know, so much so that they really didn't even have a positive or negative opinion about her. And, you know, there are still a lot of people who don't know who she is, you know, but that number of people who don't know who she is, you know, is shrinking over time.
Okay. And that's, you've been talking about this for a while. That's key to the Mary Burke campaign, getting people to know who she is and making sure it's her message, not her opponent's message.
Exactly. Name recognition. You know, she doesn't have that. And so she's going to be spending a lot of her time, certainly between now and November, getting in front of as many people as possible, both in person and on the airwaves, to introduce herself to people so that Governor Walker doesn't introduce her for her.
Okay, and this, obviously, it's just one poll months ahead of the election, but probably not great news for Governor Walker. Any silver linings here for his campaign?
There is, and thusly a downside for the Walker campaign. For the Burke campaign. You know, while this poll showed that they were neck and neck, that was among registered voters. Okay, not likely voters. When you consider those likely to vote, Governor Walker still maintains a lead of, you know, around 3 percentage points or so, which is still within the margin of error. And that is among likely voters, the people who are going to go to the polls in November.
So it's been close to the margin of error in most polls, I think, though definitely Governor Walker coming out ahead. It looks like arguably at this point a close race. What's the key then if it's that close come November?
You know, I've said it before. I hate to sound like a broken record, but I am going to say it again, that this race will be all about turnout, especially in the case of Mary Burke. She needs to get as many of those young folks, people in minority communities, people who don't vote in as high numbers as others to come out and vote for her. That's really the way that she's going to win. And of course, we'll only know in November as far as how many of those folks are going to show up for. But regardless, that's going to be key.
And it could be a lot of preaching to the choir. Dane County and Milwaukee County for the Democrats, that suburban belt, Waukesha County, Ozaukee, and the like. Republicans just trying to make sure, not persuade people, but just make sure their people get out to vote.
Exactly. And, you know, there's no big race, you know, this year. You know, there's no presidential race.
It's not a Senate race.
There's no Senate race. You know, so there's no larger race to get the base excited and even to bring independents out. You know, that helps a lot. You know, both Senate races and especially presidential races get people to the polls. And that effect is not going to be in place in November. So we'll see.
All right. We'll talk plenty about these elections between now and then. Let's move on to the UW system now. President Ray Cross, new President Ray Cross in the news this week.
Yeah. During an event on Tuesday, he said that he'd be seeking the largest increase in financial aid in system history in the next budget.
So he's requesting that from who? Regents, the state?
Yeah,
the feds?
I mean, from the region, you know, from the regents, and ultimately, obviously, from the state. You know, he says, you know, the recent tuition freeze, which we've talked about, has helped keep school affordable. But there needs to be a real big bump in financial aid in order to attract, you know, low income students, and that, you know, would have the effect of increasing the racial diversity of the student body throughout the UW system.
So partly diversity is part of his goal here. Anything else apart from financial aid?
Yeah. Cross also said that the system needs to do a better job, not only of making it financially viable, but actually preparing minority students for college. He says the UW is looking at creating a statewide tutoring program in order to make that happen. We don't have a lot of details on that yet, but he did introduce the idea earlier this week.
And then I heard on WPR News this morning that he's also looking at this program allowing high school kids to get college classes, but tuition free. How would that work?
Right. So this week, President Cross also talked about this idea of allowing high school students to take college classes. He compared it to a program in Minnesota that allows high school kids to take college classes tuition free. And so what President Cross has said is what he'd like to propose, rather, is covering the cost of tuition for a year for a high school student to take college courses. And again, that's in order for them to, you know, get through college quicker, more than anything else, and also to make it more affordable.
What's the timeline on whether that's going to happen, that's going to get clearance?
Right. I think his plan is to set aside some money in the next budget in order to pay, I think something like $1 million, to pay for that first year of tuition. It looks like he'll formally submit this proposal to the Board of Regents in 2 weeks. Although the board, I don't think, is expected to take it up actually until later this summer.
All right. And now I mentioned earlier new numbers and new wolf quota in Wisconsin's hunt. What changed and why?
Right. So the Wolf Advisory Committee, which is a group of, you know, various stakeholders, they came out with their quota recommendation for this year's wolf hunt. And the number is significantly lower than last year. The group recommended the quota be set at 156. That's 100 or so less than 2013.
So how big a difference would that make in the state's wolf population?
Well, according to DNR scientists, a quota of 156 would shrink the population by anywhere between 5 and 20%. Of course, there's a lot of variables at play, but they think it would be somewhere between 5 and 20%.
This issue is not without controversy. Who are some of the people at the table trying to set this number?
Always controversial. This advisory committee represents a very diverse set of opinions when it comes to wolf hunting. You've got scientists, the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association, Timberwolf Alliance, the list goes on and on. You know, some members recommended a quota of zero, while others recommended a quota at the much higher end, something like 300. And so
they just about split the difference.
They basically split the difference.
And that makes everybody happy?
Yeah. No, Dave McFarlane. No, not at all. Dave McFarlane, who is the large carnivore specialist with the DNR and somebody we quote often, was quoted in the Journal Sentinel as saying basically, you know, that the quota wasn't going to make everybody happy, but that it accomplishes the goal of, you know, shrinking the population in a measured way.
So was there a sense that the number last year was too large, or maybe this is a rough winter? Do you know what was behind wanting to have a lower number?
Well, I think they're taking a look at the wolf counts that, mm-hmm. that came this year. And keep in mind, you know, this is a recommendation only. The DNR board can set whatever harvest quota they want. Now, granted, the last year the board did accept the recommendation okay. of this advisory committee, but we won't know until the DNR board votes on the quota at a meeting on June 25th.
June 25th. Okay, yep. That's something we'll probably talk about that week, too, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and then national news coming home to Wisconsin here. We've talked about it some this week on the show. All these gay marriage, same-sex marriage rulings happening around the state. Used to be we talk about one state at a time. Now it's, you know, coming in waves of 2 to 5 at a time. We've got news here in Wisconsin. What's the latest?
So, you know, we in the media and probably a lot of folks out there are waiting for the ruling that could come down really any day now that will determine whether Wisconsin's gay marriage ban is constitutional. And just today, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, in anticipation of that ruling, is asking the judge in the case to stay the ruling if she strikes down the ban.
So this is to avoid a situation we've seen elsewhere, right? What happens when that ruling goes down and the stay doesn't happen right away?
Exactly. Something similar to what happened in Michigan and Utah. According to the motion, you know, they want the stay to ensure that while an appeal is pending, and certainly the state government is looking to appeal if the ban is struck down. According to the motion, they want to ensure that there's what the state is calling chaos, confusion, uncertainty, and ultimately further litigation that could come out of a situation where it's struck down, but a stay is not issued. So, in fact, people could get married if they wanted.
And they use other states as a precedent?
Yeah, they point to Michigan and Utah as an example where there was a flood of marriages when judges in those cases decided not to issue stays, but an appeals court later stopped the marriages. And so there were, you know, dozens, if not more, marriages that were sort of in legal limbo.
In limbo, in effect.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the attorney general said earlier this week, it's my job. It's the constitution of the land at this point. I need to defend this thing in court. Any indication from what we're talking about now and the stay, if he's still planning on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think based on the motion that he filed, this definitely indicates that the state of Wisconsin is certainly going to appeal. You know, it's interesting in the motion, if you look at the language, the motion suggests that if the ban is struck down, this chaos, confusion, uncertainty that I was talking about just a minute ago, they indicated that that could happen because clerks in Dane, Racine, and Milwaukee counties could potentially allow same-sex marriages. And of course, in the motion, they named those three counties specifically as places where same-sex marriages would likely take place if the ban was struck down.
And this, again, is in the midst of lots of things going on around the country, Oregon and Pennsylvania just this week.
Literally just this week. Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. The gay marriage bans in those two states were struck down. The difference between Pennsylvania and here, however, is that state is not appealing the decision. And so gay marriage is allowed in Pennsylvania as well as Oregon.
So are we counting the days? I mean, could it be any day next week, say, that a ruling could be issued?
Yeah, a hearing is officially scheduled in several weeks, but the judge in the case could make a ruling before that hearing. And so right now it's a waiting game. It's anybody's guess as to when that ruling will come down, but I guarantee there are a lot of people waiting to hear what the judge is going to say.
All right, that's it. Noah, thanks for joining us again.
No problem. It was my pleasure. Have a good holiday weekend.
Hey, you too. You too. I'll see you next week. That's Noah Ovshinsky. He's our news guy here on Central Time, official title, Assistant News Director at WPR.